All right, if you have your Bibles to 1 Samuel, we've went through 1 Samuel chapter 1 and 2. And again, we see that God is dealing with His children. And we saw that in chapter 1 where a young lady named Hannah, she was barren, didn't have any children. She sought the Lord, and the Lord provided and met that need. And she dedicated that child to God. And it's not like a dedication we would do. We would pray over a child and say, we're dedicating our children to the Lord. And remember this, our children are the Lord's children. He gives them to us to train and raise up, but they're His. And He's the one who gives those children to us. And so so Hannah did this, and she dedicated her son. And as soon as he was weaned, she took him to the temple there and gave him to Eli to raise up. And then we found out in chapter 2 that Eli wasn't such a good father. His sons, Hophni and Phinehas, were there, and they were supposed to be working in the priest position there, and they were stealing from the people, stealing from God. And they were also committing adultery and those things in the temple, and they didn't really care about the things of God at all. More importantly, they just cared about themselves. And so God mentioned that He was going to deal with those folks. And so we come to chapter 3, and we see that some things have happened. And it's a situation that we don't want to ever be in, but we could be one day. It says in verse 1, "And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision." Let's go ahead and pray, and then we'll look into this chapter. Father, again, we do thank You for Your word. We thank You for the opportunity to come and share. And Father, I just pray again that as we contemplate these things, that we look to You and ask You to give us wisdom, help us to apply these things in our lives, Father, that we would be what You'd want us to be. We'll thank You for it now in Jesus' name. Amen. So here's the situation. We see that the word was precious. And why was the word precious? There was no open vision. There was nobody there standing in the place of God, receiving the things of God. There was nobody who was wanting to follow God in that particular situation. So here they were just craving for the word of God. That precious means valuable. It means to be rare. It's a dark time in Israel's history. Now, Israel has had a lot of dark times. If you ever got on the roller coaster in Judges, you can see it. It goes up and down, up and down, up and down. And that's all about Israel turning from God and turning to God. And every time they turned to Him, He answered. That's an example for us to realize and understand that we don't have to do the roller coaster of life. We can actually flatten that out, and that is by just following God. But when we do get in the valley, we can look to God, and He'll pull us up and bring us back to the mountaintop if we just realize our sin and confess it as that. But here He says, the word of the Lord was precious. In verse 2 it says, "And it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place," I was going to say something, but it's here still. "Eli was laid down in his place. His eyes began to wax dim that he could not see." So again, Eli's old, and he's passing really off the scene. As we go through these next couple chapters, we'll see that. But it says in verse 3, "And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep." And so here, this is something that was not supposed to happen. God had commanded that the lamp, the seven golden candlesticks, to be lit continually. In Exodus chapter 27, verse 20, it says, "Thou shalt command the children of Israel that they bring the pure oil, olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamp to burn always." And so it was a source of the light in the holy place, and it was always to be burning. But Eli's getting older. It's probably late at night, as we're going to look and see this, but he didn't get up. He's not taking care of it. His sons are not taking care of this. We know that they are profaning the things of God. So things aren't running correctly. Let's put the analogy of the church. This is not the church, and don't get me wrong. I'm not saying it's the church, but it's the temple of God. Just like churches today, folks aren't doing and practicing what the Bible teaches. And this is what's happened here, is they're not following the Lord. So they didn't keep the lamps burning. And of course, this lamp was a symbol of the light of God's truth. And so it went out. So we can see the spiritual application there. Just as the light went out, the lamp went out, the word of the Lord was precious. It wasn't there. And again, it was because there was nobody to stand in the gap, nobody to say, I will follow at that particular time. And so it happens to us if we spiritually wane. Let's go to 2 Peter. Take your little marker there and hold in 1 Samuel, if you would. Go over to 2 Peter chapter 1. And this probably is a very familiar passage with you. When you get there, you'll go, oh, yeah, I remember this. So in 2 Peter chapter 1, look at verse 4. And again, as Peter is pinning these words to the power of the Spirit of God, he reminds us today of these things. These are for us. They have application to us. In verse 4 he says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now what is the great and precious promises? What do you think that is he's talking about? What's the application there? The Bible, absolutely. When you study the Bible, you find out these precious things that God has given to us, these great things that he's sharing with us and helping us. And it's all about the divine power, verse 3 tells us, that he's given to us. And so we can be partakers of the divine nature when we understand the Word of God and put our faith and trust in Jesus. So he's talking to Christians here, and he's talking about this, and he goes on, and he talks about salvation right there. In verse 5, he says, and besides this, so there's more to this than just salvation, okay? He says, besides this, giving all diligence, in other words, take heed, pay attention, get into the Word of God, find out what God wants you to do. He says, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, he says, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, if you apply yourself to these things by the Spirit of God and the power of God, then you will have a greater knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's that fact that you have learned of him. And you've walked with him, Matthew chapter 11 teaches us. In verse 9, though, he says, but he that lacketh these things, what things? The things that he just shared with us, and this is the opposite of having the knowledge of God abound in your life, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Again, I believe this is a Christian. Done with the notes. This was a Christian. And the fact is that when this person gets away from God, he's not abounding in the Lord because he's not following the Scripture and learning about these principles, learning about who God is, temperance and patience and all these things and godliness, he becomes blind to the very fact that he was even saved. I think that's what's going on today in our passage. Excuse me for a second. That's what's going on in our passage today as we look and see Eli. He's not hearing the voice of the Lord. He's not walking close with God. And we're going to see that as we go on down through this. But look at verse 10. It says, wherefore the rather, again, he's changing directions. He says, brethren, talking to Christians, he says, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never what? Fall. That's right. And that's the key. If you want to know that you're saved and you want to know that you're walking in God's will, you've got to be growing in these things. They need to abound in your life. You need to learn what that means and follow it. And don't choose what is not best over the best. Have you ever done that? I've done that. I've taken the first thing that comes along thinking that was the best choice when it wasn't. And it's easy to do because if, especially when you get down in that place where it's like, I have nothing, I can't go any farther, I need help right now, and then something comes along, we think, well, that's got to be the answer. That's not always the answer, especially if it goes against biblical principles. It's definitely not the answer. We will sacrifice biblical principles sometimes to choose that which is not best. Anybody say amen to that? Or oh me. I can say, oh me, I've done that. So let's go back to our passage. So we see here in this particular time that Israel is in a dark place. people are not hearing the word of God. Eli really doesn't hear the word of God. We see that in the next verses, seven verses, starting verse 4, that Eli here is going to be spoken, or someone's going to speak to Eli. Let's go ahead and look at it. It says, the Lord called Samuel, and he answered and said, here am I. So he heard this voice, and he said, here am I. But who do you think he's thinking that is calling him? That's right. He thinks Eli is calling him. So what does he do? Look at verse 5. It says, and he ran unto Eli and said, here am I. And again, when he said, here am I, what is he doing? Do what? That's right. He's being obedient. He's being obedient to Eli because he thinks Eli is calling him. And as soon as he hears the words, he runs right to Eli. He does this pretty quick, immediately. It says, for thou callest me. And he said, I call not, lie down again. And he went and laid down. So here we got the picture. It's late at night. The candle's not burning where it should be in the temple. And there, the Lord is calling Samuel. He thinks it's Eli. So he runs to Eli and says, hey, look, I didn't call you. What does that tell us right there in those few verses? I've already mentioned it, but what does it tell you? Eli can't hear God. Why can't he hear him? If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me, and neither will he communicate with us. He's not going to do it. Why? Because we're walking apart from God. We have chosen to take steps that are contrary to the Word of God, contrary to God. Now, God, His grace, His grace will help us and encourage us, but there is a point where He says no more. Let's go on and see. So again, we see in verse 6, he says, and the Lord called yet again the second time Samuel, and Samuel rose and went to Eli and said, here am I, for thou didst call me. And he answered and said, I called not, my son, lie down again. So twice Eli is not hearing God, and Samuel is. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, okay? He didn't have a relationship with the Lord yet. That's basically what it's saying. Neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. He didn't even understand. And let me stress this too. Sometimes, you know, years ago we go knocking on doors and we think, well, we're going to knock on door and we're going to give them a track and they're going to get saved. Hallelujah. Well, that happens very seldom. Somebody has to understand clearly the Bible about their sin and about who Jesus Christ is, and understand that they're lost without Him. And that requires teaching. That requires hearing the word of the Lord. You know, people don't get saved apart from the Bible. It doesn't happen. I had this great experience here. I saw this white thing in the sky, and boy, I knew there was a God. Well, that's great. I can look out and see the trees out there, and you know what? I know there's a God. It's not about that. It's about putting your faith and trust in Jesus specifically. And that's the only way you can get saved. There's no other way. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man come to the Father but by me. That's it. So anyway, we see Samuel, he doesn't know the Lord yet. And of course, the word has not been revealed to him yet, even though he's hearing God at this particular time. In verse 8, it says, the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, here am I, for thou didst call me. And here Eli is starting to think. This is the third time. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. I can imagine that's a dismal day for Eli, because he realizes that God is not speaking to him. He being the priest. But God is speaking to this child. Wouldn't that be a terrible feeling to know that God is not speaking to you? I think it would be. Verse 9 says, therefore Eli said unto Samuel, go, lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. So Eli had the wisdom to at least tell Samuel that, look, next time you hear that, then just say, speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. And what he's doing, he says, he's helping him to respond to God. He's teaching him that there's a path here, a communication line to God. And I want you to do this and open that line up. And that's what he's doing here. And Eli, I believe, knows in his heart of hearts that it's already passed off the scene for him, that he has made so many mistakes that it's really not going to go well for him. In verse 10 it says, and the Lord came and stood. And it's interesting right there. All those times before he was speaking to Samuel, did it say he stood? I don't see it in there. But all of a sudden, the fourth time, he stood. So the Lord was there with him and called, as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, speak, for thy servant heareth. This is what God wants for us. He wants us to be in a position to hear him. He wants us to be in a position, when you come to church or when you open your Bible, you ought to come wanting to hear from God. If you're not coming for that reason, you're better just to stay at home. If you're not wanting to hear from God. Now, let me back up. You know, there are times when you go to church, I go to church, we don't want to hear from anybody, and God speaks to us. So let me back up and say, we want you to come every time because the Lord can open the door in your heart. But we want to come hearing. And that we want to come and say, Lord, we want something. This is what Jesus Christ established the church for, is that believers coming to the church would learn how to be in the ministry. How to become those people who are Sunday school teachers. How to become those people that are missionaries. How to become those people that are ready to lay their life down for the cause of Christ. That is the purpose of this. And that's what God has called every one of us into. Not everyone's going to do it. As we see, Eli himself, in his old age, he's not doing it anymore. And so, verse 11, it says, and the Lord said to Samuel, behold, I will do a thing in Israel, which both the ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle. He said, I'm going to do something great in Israel. Now imagine, he's a young boy probably at this age still, and God is speaking to him and telling him, I got a plan, and I want you to know about it. He's not telling Eli, he's telling Samuel. And so as we look at this, and we go down through this, we see that Samuel was somebody, he's willing to do whatever God calls him to do. He's there answering the Lord immediately. He doesn't really know that it's the Lord, but yet he is willing to answer him. And he's getting ready to hear a hard message. Something big was going to happen. God loved Israel. The leadership was corrupt. And so he was going to lead the people back. Hannah, who had given her son, dedicated to the Lord, that God was going to use this particular young man to do something mighty. And as we study the books of 1 and 2 Samuel, we're going to see that Samuel was somebody that was mighty in the Lord, that trusted God with all his heart, that didn't lean unto his own understanding, but followed him. And that's exactly what God is looking for today. So Samuel was in the right place to hear God, just like Saul of Tarsus on the way to the road. He was on the road to Damascus. He was in the right place to hear the Lord because Paul, in his heart of hearts, wanted to follow God. Yet he was doing everything contrary to God, was he not? Yep, absolutely. And God got his attention that day, and that day changed his life forever. God has got Samuel's attention, and it's going to change his life forever. I believe at this point that Samuel has put his faith and trust in God to live his life for the rest of his life. So something big is going to happen. And, of course, Samuel probably did not know the message that the unknown man of God delivered to Eli. Okay, he didn't know what God had told him in chapter 2 about his sons and what was going to happen. I don't believe that's the case. So here he's talking to him. He says in verse 12, he says, in that day I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile and he restrained them not. Eli is going to answer for not having his children in control. Now, this is different than most of us, but the fact is Eli's children were the priest. They were the ones serving, okay? And God said, it's not going to happen anymore. I'm done with this. And so Eli, because of not teaching his children right, not keeping his children in control, the Lord's going to take them out. And that's what he's telling right there. Verse 14 says, therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering forever. In other words, there's no turning back here. There's no, Lord, forgive me. He said, it is done. It's a sin unto death. That's what he's talking about here. He's not going to give him a break. He said, it is done. Your prayers are not going to help you. I've given you the chance and you have failed. That can happen to a Christian, but pray not for it, right? So we see here that the message is a hard one to hear. It's hard to understand. In Isaiah 45:23, says, I have sworn myself, the word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear. We're reminded of that in the New Testament as well in Romans chapter 14. We're not going to go there or anything, but the fact is every knee is going to bow, every tongue is going to confess the Lord Jesus Christ. You can do it today or you can wait later. For the Christian, you need to do it now before the judgment seat of Christ. Because we don't want to stand before a holy God knowing that we didn't follow him as Christians. Once saved, always saved. Yes, that's true. But also we want to be serving as well. Following God, his leadership. So here next we're going to see Samuel's humbleness. Look at verse 15. And Samuel lay until the morning and opened the doors of the house of the Lord. And Samuel feared to show Eli the vision. Then Eli called Samuel and said, Samuel, my son. And he answered, here am I. Again, he's responded to him. Now he knows something different now, doesn't he? Now, what would we do if God spoke to us and told us that the guy you're following is a bum and we're taking him out of here? You'd probably maybe get a little proud, maybe think, well, I'm the next guy, I'm the next one in the line or whatever, and pride might enter into your heart. But that didn't happen. He got up, he did the very same thing he did the day before, and then when Eli called him, he didn't go run and snicker or any of that. He's right away, here am I. I'm still your servant. God still put you over me. I'm still going to respond to you just like I responded to you the day before. And so he follows through with this. And that's part of being humble, is putting ourselves under the authority that God has established for us. And of course, Eli, he wanted to know, hey, what did God tell you? Because he's not hearing the word of God. It's precious in those days. He wants to know what's going on here. And of course, I can imagine he probably knew what to expect. And verse 17 says, and he said, what is the thing that the Lord has said unto thee? I pray thee, hide it not from me. God do so to thee, and more also, if thou hide anything from me of all the things that he said unto thee. And so here he's just asking Samuel, he said, tell me what it is, regardless of what the news is, bad or good. And he says, and if you don't tell me, I hope the same thing happens to you. I don't know if your parents ever did this. My mom did this. She told me one day, says, I hope your children are just as bad as you are. You know, put that curse on you or whatever. And in a sense, that's kind of what Eli's doing here. Says, look, if you don't tell me, I hope you're just as bad as I am. Whatever. And so the fact is, we see in verse 18, Samuel told him every whit and hid nothing from him. And he said, it is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good. And so here we see that Eli, he understands that he's going to have to accept whatever comes. And you know, we as Christians, we need to understand that as well. When we're disobedient, the chastening hand of God comes. Instead of getting bitter and rebellious, we need to accept it, confess it, and ask the Lord to guide us and direct us back. He will do it. But we have to be willing to be humble and to do that. So then we go on in verse 19, it says, and Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him. Now, what does that tell us? I've already mentioned it, but what does that tell us? If the Lord is with you, what does that mean? You got a relationship. You got that relationship. That's what he has. He has a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to walk with God, and God's going to speak to him. We'll see that throughout history in the, as we go through this. But here we see that he's growing up, and the Lord is with him. In verse 20, it says, "And all Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord." So all of a sudden we see, because of this young man's walk with the Lord, because he believed in God, he trusted God, and he wanted to follow God, he had that relationship, just like we have a relationship. Now he is going to build on that relationship. And what he's going to build on that relationship is faithfulness to God in everything he does. God is first. And that's important. I can imagine, and I'm jumping ahead and we're going to wrap up here in a minute, but I can remember the time reading in the scripture where Samuel had to confront Saul. Do you remember that time? That's a pretty difficult time. Saul was given the instructions by Samuel. Samuel was given the instructions by God to go and kill the Amalekites. You remember that? And he was supposed to kill half of them and let the rest go. No? You sure about that? Are you really sure? What was it? Everything. What's that mean? Oh. Mineral, vegetable, you name it. Well, I don't know about the mineral and all that vegetable stuff, but the king, all the people, men, women, children, cattle, everything he was supposed to destroy. And when he came back, Samuel heard, he said, "Bleeding in my ears, he heard the sheep." Do you remember what Saul said? That's right. And he also blamed the people. He blamed the people that they thought this would be a good idea. He didn't follow God. He didn't stick to the word of God. He failed to do that. And Samuel here, he's the one that is standing before God on these issues. He could have just swept it under the rug and said, like some pastors do, and said, "Well, that's not a problem. We'll just let that go. You know, you done most of the job. You did everything but just this one thing. And the king, by the way, you should have killed him too. But that's not much. It's just the king and the sheep. That's all you did. That's pretty good. I mean, that's probably 96% or whatever of everything he had to do. Is 96% enough for God? I don't think so. He wants 100%. Why? Because you are bought with a price. We're to glorify God in our body and our soul. He has us. But do we really have him 100%? Or that sounds backwards, doesn't it? He has us. But does he have us 100%? That's the point. And so here we see that Samuel had some difficult times in his life. He had to stand before Saul and tell him right up front that he had sinned. And of course, through that, God took the kingdom from Saul and he revealed it to another. And that was David. Again, I want to remind you that God's word is important. We don't want to be like Israel was, where the word of God is precious because there is no vision. We want to always have a vision. Because if there's no vision, what happens? People perish. It's revealed here in the scripture. It's revealed today. And if we aren't on board with God, then we too will be in the same situation as Israel is. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Father, again, we do thank you for your word this morning. We pray you continue to guide and direct our lives. I thank you for the word of God because it is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And Father, I just pray that as we hear it, that as it pierces us, and Father, that it divides and that it conquers, that it will help us as we are convicted, that we also understand that you've given it to us to be to relate to us that we're doing right as well, and that we would use it, and that we'd let it guide and direct each one of our lives. And we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.